with them how excited you guys are to be here. All right, you can start finding your way back to your seats. So this morning we're looking at Jonah chapter 1. And I was thinking, have you ever had someone speak into your life out of nowhere? How did you feel? More importantly, how did you react? Today, as we look at this chapter, we're going to be talking about some things that God has for us in his word. So turn with me there now. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the seat in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that home with you. But as we look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, why is the word of the Lord coming to Jonah? Because Jonah is a prophet. Prophets hear from God, and then they speak out that word that they've received. And I think it's important that we know that God's word is still going forth. God still wants to speak to people, and if you'll make yourselves available, he'll begin to speak to you. You see, it's not about changing God. It's about changing us. Are we stopping, and are we pausing to hear what he has for us? What's amazing about Jonah is that Jonah's name means dove. I was thinking this week about birds, and what I found is that birds know when a storm is coming, and birds will generally flee before that storm comes because they're trying to escape from harm. Jonah is known as the reluctant prophet because he, like a bird, is known to fly away. Now, what's really amazing here is that his dad's name, Amittai, means truth. Amittai means truth. So Jonah is the son. Yet Jonah has a problem, and the problem is that he tends to run away. I think as we start off today, a few good questions to ask yourself are these. What are you running away from today that you should be running to? What is God asking you to do today that you've said, no way, God? Because I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that I don't want to run away from one thing that God has called me to. I don't want to run away from the promises of God. I don't want to run away from the things that I'm afraid of. I don't want to run away from the storm. I want to run into it. I want to run into the problems. I want to run into the challenges because I believe that God is right there with me. So Jonah's name means dove, and he flies away. And I have a feeling that there's a Jonah in all of us. So I'm going to read some scripture today, and we're going to look at these scriptures with this idea in mind. I can't keep running away. So let's look at verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. The very first thing that we discover in the book of Jonah is that when God asks you to obey him, trust him. Some of you are sitting here this morning thinking, well, what do you mean? This is a truth that you're going to have to embrace. That when God speaks to you, it isn't necessarily going to be something that you like or that you want to do. Jonah, if you've been around church for a while, kind of gets a bad rap in church. And it's very easy to preach about this guy that lived thousands of years ago and go, wow, he really messed up and we're pretty great. No. There's a Jonah in all of us. And you have to understand that in Jonah's mind, he had a legitimate reason why he did not want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Assyria at the time was a worldwide power, and it was known as a barbaric community. Jonah was a prophet to the nation of Israel, right around 793 BC and through 753, all in that time is when Jonah is a prophet. And Israel is Assyria's greatest enemy. Now, there are stories about the Assyrians that I could tell that would shock you. They would go into a city, and they would completely destroy the city. They would kill all of the people. Everyone was murdered. They would take people, they would bury them in the sand up to their necks, and they would leave them with their heads out until they died. They would kill an entire city, and they would take all the heads, and they would build pyramids outside the city with the heads, so that anybody who came to that city would know that Assyria had been there. So when Jonah gets this word from God, his reaction isn't, well, I just don't feel like doing it. He's thinking, I'm probably going to die if I go to Nineveh. Some of us are sitting here and we're still having a hard time inviting your barista at Starbucks or your neighbors or coworkers to come to church. Well, I don't know, God. I don't know if I want to do that. But I'm not a Jonah. Guess what? You might be a Jonah. You see, Nineveh is a barbaric, crazy place. And when God is inviting Jonah to be on this mission, Jonah doesn't want to be on the mission. This place was barbaric, and it was his greatest enemy. Yet Jonah was called to go and serve his enemies. Does it sound like anybody else you might know? Jesus? He's called to go and to serve his enemies. And here's what I want you to catch today. God is going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you to do something that at times you don't want to do, that you don't even like doing. And the reason for it is because it's going to require you to trust him. It's going to require you to go beyond your comfort zone. It's going to require you to lean on God. How many of you this morning know that God wants to absolutely exhaust his grace on our life so that when he gets done working with us, people will say, I know Brianna. I know that girl. Oh, she's not that talented and not that gifted. There must be something on her life. And all you have to do is nod and say, you're absolutely correct. It's called the grace of God, and it is sufficient for me in every moment of weakness. You might have a legitimate reason why you don't want to do what God is calling you to do. And so what you're doing today is you're delaying your obedience. Did you know that delayed obedience is still disobedience? Have you ever seen a mom talking to her kid going, one, Jimmy, two, two and a half? A lot of us are playing that same game with God. And we're thinking that God is just waiting on two and three quarters, but God isn't waiting. He's inviting us into his mission. He's inviting us into his plan. Newsflash, when God speaks to you, it won't always be what you like. I even felt this morning coming into today that some of you are waiting to get a word from God that you like. Guess what? You might be waiting forever. Christians are really funny because we sometimes pick things that we want to believe and that we want to obey from God. Can you imagine being on a football team and you're in a game and all of a sudden the coach calls your number and he calls the play and you know that that play means that you're going to get tackled. And so you say, coach, yeah, I'm not going to be in that play. And the coach asks why, and you say, well, you know, because that's the one where I get tackled. But how many of you know that maybe if you're willing to get tackled, that that might actually mean that your team would score a touchdown? See, I think a lot of people sometimes say, I don't want to be in this play. I don't want to be in this one because I don't like the outcome. But what we're really saying is, we don't like the possible outcome for us. Deeper still, we didn't trust God to lead us. Because if you think a little bit bigger, it might not be the outcome that you want particularly for you, but it might be the outcome that your coach wants, and it might be the outcome that your team needs. I believe that there are Christians out there today who are more concerned with being tackled than they are with scoring a touchdown. And I pray that we will be a church that understands that God is going to call us to do some stuff that we don't want to do. But if we'll lean out there and we'll be willing to get tackled for the kingdom of God, for his name's sake, we might see a touchdown be scored for the glory of God. And I think that's pretty exciting. Listen to me this morning. Your calling, my calling, it's not for our glory, but for God's glory. You've got to get that word in your heart this morning. What God is telling, it's not your story. It's not my story. It's his story. And so just because you don't understand it, or just because you don't like it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't obey it. Just go throughout the Bible. Do you really think that all these people that were used by God really wanted to do what they did? Wanted. That's the key word there. Did David really want to fight Goliath? This guy's 13 years old, hasn't even gone through puberty yet. He was willing, but I don't know if he really wanted to fight the giant. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego want to go into a fiery furnace? They were willing, but is that what they wanted? Did Daniel want to go into a lion's den? Well, I just want to test God and see if these kittens will really bite me. That's not what he's thinking. Did Abraham, after waiting 100 years for a promise from God, did he want to sacrifice Isaac on the altar? Did Jesus want to go to the cross? He said, Lord, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Consider this. There are two things that please God, faith and obedience. And the bridge between these two things is trust. God wants to use you today, but you're going to have to stop, and you're going to have to pause, and you're going to have to realize that when the word comes to you, and it's going to come to you, it might not be what you like, it might not be what you want, it might not be what you're passionate about, but trust me in this, it's going to be better than you ever expected it could be. So let's keep looking through Jonah. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. It is easier to turn away than it is to obey. And there will always be a boat headed in the wrong direction. Avoid the boat. You need to realize that when God speaks to you, there's going to be another boat that's headed in the other direction. I did some study, and it's amazing, because God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. And it's east of where he is, about 800 kilometers. It would take him a few days to get there. But Jonah instead decides to flee, to fly, to run away from what he's called to do, and head all the way to Tarshish, which is on the southeast of Spain, about 4,000 kilometers in the opposite direction. Have you ever considered that sometimes it takes more effort in disobeying God than it does in simply obeying? Some of you this morning are exhausted. 800 kilometers is all God wanted him to go. He said, no, let me start running 4,000 kilometers in the opposite direction. Here is what I know. God will speak to you, and he will tell you what to do. I have a pretty good feeling that most of you in the room this morning already know what you're supposed to be doing. Some of you, it's the same thing God's been telling you to do for a long time now. And God is still waiting on you for you to just obey him. But you keep delaying your obedience. You keep running in the other direction and hopping on the other boat. And I've learned that when God speaks to us, out of nowhere, there seems to be this other option, this other boat. Like someone who decides to quit smoking. The next day, they'll go to the gas station, and somehow there will be a sale on cigarettes. No way. Or some of you in this room, God has told you that the person you're with, the boyfriend or girlfriend, is not the person that you're supposed to be with. He has confirmed that. He's told you that. That's not the person that you're supposed to live this life with. Yet somehow today, he's going to try to convince you that this is destiny. That somehow they can change. There's going to be another boat other than what God has told you. You could be in this place where you're like, I'm done gossiping. And you'll leave this room and somebody will come up to you with some juicy new news that you've never heard before. And it's going to seem like this new temptation to jump on this other boat. Or you could be sitting here going, I think I'm going to lose weight. and you'll leave and somebody will bring you a donut. That's the way it happens. God, give me patience, and then there will be traffic. I'm telling you that every time God speaks, it will seem like there's more options. But just because it appears that there are multiple options doesn't mean that there are multiple ways. There's only one way, and it's God's way. You've got to get on the right boat, and you've got to get going in the right direction. Well, why does this happen, you say? Because when God invites you to be on his mission, the enemy understands that if we get on mission, God's grace is sufficient. He's going to meet us, and we're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see change happen. And so the enemy is going to do whatever he can do to get you to jump on the wrong boat. If he can get you distracted and get you running, he can exhaust you and tire you out, and he can bring you to a point where you're going to quit. I've been thinking this week about the things that have kept me from getting on the wrong boat. Not that I've never gotten on the wrong boat, but these are the things in my life that have kept me from the wrong boat. The first thing that I want to challenge you with is this: intimacy with God. Think of intimacy as into me, see. See into me, see the real me, getting to know the real God so that he's not just the God that you hear about on Sundays or the God that you read about but isn't personal. Get intimate with God so that he's the God that you know. Who is Jesus? What's he like? What's his nature and his character? What are his thoughts towards me? But not just that. Intimacy is me getting open and intimate with God about who I really am. God, change me. Transform me. How do we get intimate with God? We start with prayer. Prayer needs to be something that we're taking seriously. The Bible says that this house, the church, so if you find yourself constantly getting on the wrong boat, the first thing I would ask you is this: what does your intimacy with God look like right now? But it doesn't just stop there. The second thing is Bible application. I use that phrase, Bible application, because it's not just reading my Bible, but it's actually about reading the verses and going, God, how can I apply this to my life? The biggest gap in our lives is between knowing and doing. How many of you know that the blessing is not in the knowing, but it's in the doing? And you have to get to a place where God's word isn't just some narrative or some words on a page, but rather that God's word is something that starts to change you and transform your actions. That's Bible application. And thirdly, community with believers. What's kept me from getting on the wrong boat? It's been community with believers. It's been the people I'm doing life with. Notice in the story of Jonah. Jonah, he's a prophet from God. That's his job. And he gets this word from God, and he doesn't like the word, so he heads down to Joppa, where he finds a ship crew. Notice it's not his family or his friends. It's not those that know the call on his life, not those that know the man that he wants to be. It's just a ship crew. And he goes down, and the ship crew takes him on board. And what happens to a lot of us in life is that we're not intentional with the people that we're spending the most time with. We're not intentional with the relationships that we're creating. We're not walking in authenticity. We're not walking vulnerable and transparent. We're not in Christian community. And so what happens is you just show up in people's lives and people start taking you on their boat. And this is what I've learned. If you don't know where you are going, people will be glad to take you where they are headed. Some of us keep ending up in places left and right going, I don't want to be here. Well, it might be because you were not intentional with the people that you got on the boat with. You were not intentional with the people that you surround yourself with. What happens to us is that we just kind of float through life going, well, that's my buddy, and that's my buddy, and I want you to have lots of friends, but I want you to be intentional with your key community. Who are the people that know me? This is the person that I want to be. I want to be a woman. I want to be a pastor who refuses to keep running away from the call of God. I want to get some people around me that are going to hold me accountable to that. Jonah didn't get with his small group or his family or his friends. He got with a ship crew. And some of you today, this might be your moment to get into godly community. If you're saying right now, I can't find a single Christian friend, well, guess what? We want to help you find community. We want to help you find a community where you can walk in transparency, that you can walk in vulnerability, and that you can be authentic with. So let's get back to our text, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. Jonah has gotten a word from God. He doesn't like the word from God. And now he's found a boat that just so happens to be going in the wrong direction. And not just the wrong direction, 4,000 kilometers in the opposite direction. And he jumps on it. And this is what happens. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, so stick with me. Then the Lord sent a great wind of the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea come down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life." I find it interesting that a group of ungodly men were way more concerned with showing compassion to Jonah than he was concerned with showing compassion to the men he was called to go to. Let's keep going. "Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God may use a storm to reveal our disobedience. Take a look inside. This is our last observation today. God may use a storm to wake you up. This story is a very strong parallel for us. Jonah hears a word from God. God speaks to him directly. And instead of following God and doing what he is told to do, he runs away. He doesn't want to do what he's told to do. He doesn't like it. It's hard. It's scary. And I don't know what God has told you to do that you're supposed to do and that you're delaying on. It could be forgiving someone. It could be serving in church. It could be starting to tithe. It could be inviting a friend or coworker to church. It could be reconciling with your kids. God has called you to do something, but you just keep delaying it and delaying it. Jonah thought to himself, "Let me go and hire a boat." And he thought that the further away he got, that the easier it would get. How many of you know that you can run from God, but you can't hide from God? Sooner or later, God is going to come and find you right where you are. The Bible says that Jonah gets on this boat and he goes out, he heads below deck, and he falls into a deep sleep. Some of us are sleeping on our destiny today. Some of us are sleeping on what God has spoken to us. Some of us are sleeping on the promises of God. And every once in a while, in order to wake you up from your slumber, God has to rock our boat a little bit. The Bible says that he sent a great storm, and these men, they come down and they wake Jonah up, and they start having some questions. Who are you? What have you done? What is going on here? What their reaction tells us is that this is not an ordinary storm, and that this storm must have had some supernatural context to it. Because these men were experienced sailors. They had probably seen many storms over the years. This storm was different. Have you ever seen thing after thing after thing after thing go wrong? Something else was up here. This storm doesn't just wake Jonah up physically. It wakes him up spiritually. Look at what he said in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. It's like he's reminding himself who he is. If it wasn't for the storm, Jonah would have just kept sleeping. But the storm wakes him up, and it reclaims his identity. I am a child of God. I am submitted to the promises. I am under his control. Though the seas are raging, I believe that my God is in control. So we can run, and we can keep running, but we can't hide from God. God will come and find us, and he'll wake us up. Even today in this 11 o'clock service, God is here today, and he's trying to wake some people up. He's trying to remind you who you are. You've got to wake up, because his grace will track you down. Today, I'm not saying that every problem and every storm that you have is because of some disobedience in your life. But I certainly am suggesting that we owe it to ourselves to take a look and evaluate whether or not some of the storms in our life could be due to that. Look at what Jonah says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. Could some of the storms that are happening in our lives, could some of that responsibility be ours? I know it's easy to blame the devil. Man, the devil is messing with me. Well, yeah, but you've kind of made some bad decisions too. You've kind of been running from God for a long time. Yeah, but the devil. No, I think you just chose that. Because look at what Jonah does. Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Jonah finally took responsibility for disobeying God. He surrendered. Did anyone here love math class when you were growing up? Who are those people? Thank you for none of us here. Anyway, so do you remember in math class? You're like, Brianna, I forgot those memories a long time ago. But bear with me. Do you remember you'd be doing a long division problem, and it wasn't good enough to just have the answer? You had to show your work. You had to show your work, right? And you'd say, why do I have to show my work? I have the right answer. But it's because showing your work was an indication that you understood how you came to that answer. And see, this is a picture of salvation. Because salvation isn't just choosing Jesus, but salvation is also denying yourself. Salvation is also saying, I'm the problem. This is my fault. The square root of my problems is me. I'm part of the problem here. And until I can admit that this is my fault, I'm never, ever, ever going to walk into the fullness of the free gift of Christ, of salvation. Jonah says, you've got to throw me overboard. I've got to be willing to die in order that I might be saved. So Jonah gets thrown overboard, and God, he comes in the form of a fish, and he rescues him. What we see out of Jonah and this beautiful picture of salvation is his willingness to surrender. It appeared that the most dangerous place he was going was overboard. But how many of you know that it was the safest place that Jonah had ever been? Because it was the first time that Jonah actually got where God wanted him to be. So throw me overboard, because I believe that the storm is going to be calm if I surrender to God. Let this be the day that you decide that you just can't keep running away anymore. Let this be the day that you choose to surrender. And I find it interesting that Jonah, his name means dove. And right away our reaction is that doves fly away from the storm. And that's true of Jonah. But there's also another symbol of the dove. And the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will come upon you in power. And when God's power comes upon you, he can take impossible situations. And you can begin to walk in the possibilities of God. But you can't keep running away anymore. So I'm going to pray. Worship team, I'm going to invite you guys to come up. God, I thank you for this picture of Jonah. I thank you for the reminder that your grace is sufficient in every area of weakness. And so I pray for each of us this morning, God. I pray that you will wake us up. Whatever storm we're facing, whatever is in front of us that seems terrifying, God, I pray that we will walk into it in full surrender, in full trust, knowing that you are there with us. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together.